Are you ready to become toxic person proof?
Hey guys, Sarah K. Ramsey here to help you find love and success after a toxic relationship so you can design a life you're actually excited about living.
Hello, wonderful. This is Sarah. And today on this episode of Becoming Toxic Person Proof, we are going to talk about boundaries. And I know you probably love talking about boundaries. You probably love thinking about boundaries. You probably hate enforcing boundaries. But boundaries is one of the biggest buzzwords in the toxic relationship world, in the toxic relationship community, because boundaries give us hope. So many people have said, oh, you need to work on your boundaries, or you need to have stronger boundaries. In fact, a toxic person may have told you you needed to work on having stronger boundaries. Toxic people are really good at telling us we should have better boundaries with people who aren't them. They hardly ever tell us that we need to have better boundaries with them, though they may say it to throw us off and to say, well, the problem here is that you don't have better boundaries. The problem is not my behavior. The problem is you don't have better boundaries. So you may have heard that, but what are boundaries? What can boundaries do? And what can boundaries not do after a toxic relationship? That is what we are digging into today. So let's start with what boundaries are. Obviously, you have skin. Other people have skin. My skin lets me know where I start and stop and where other people start and stop. Unfortunately, other than our physical boundaries, it's sometimes difficult to know where everything else with us starts and stops and where everything else with other people starts and stops. And I want you to start to think about what is your problem to solve and what is someone else's problem to solve, because that's where it gets tricky, right? Like, if someone else has a crisis at work, is it your problem to solve or their problem to solve? If your child is 25 and hasn't grown up and left the nest yet and needs money, is that your problem to solve or is that their problem to solve? If your ex is in a horrible mood and, or the current person you're with is in a horrible mood and they say, oh, I'm having a bad day, and they may not say it's your job to fix it, or they may say it's your job to fix it. They may say, oh, I thought you were a good wife. I thought you were a good partner. I thought you were a good friend. Whatever. My mood is your job to fix. My problem is your problem to solve. And one of the easiest ways to take out the confusion of who's toxic and who is not is looking for those people who are always looking for someone else to solve their problems. Okay. Maybe they're playing the victim. Oh, I can't solve this on my own. Maybe they advocate, responsibility for their behavior. Well, I had a bad childhood, so that's not my problem to solve. Okay. Or you should be, give me grace and second chances and third and fourth and 567th chances because, you know, I had a bad childhood. And in your head, if you are a good, kind, loving, giving, and forgiving person, you think, oh, it's my job to help them. That's what God wants me to do. That's what the universe wants me to do. That's what my teacher, when I got the star for special helper in second grade, wants me to do. That's the right thing to do. And my guess is that thinking has resulted in not knowing where you start and where you stop and where other people start and where they stop. And you've probably focused a lot on solving other people's problems and not been able to focus on your own. Because sometimes it's just more fun solving other people's problems than our own, right? We can feel helpful. Sometimes they tell us we're wonderful and they reward us for helping them and tell us we're great and we feel needed and it feels really good for a while. And then we notice it's never our turn. There's always another problem. There's always another crisis. They always get to be the main event. They always get to be the most important person in the relationship. Their problems are always more important than our problems. Their moods are always more important than our moods. Whether they are tired or not is always more important than whether we are tired or not. Their past is more important than our past. Their problems are bigger than our problems, right? And you start to realize that you're never taking turns. That they get to have problems and your job is to fix those problems or spend your energy helping them. Or spending your energy making yourself smaller so that they can worry about their problems and they don't have to worry about you. Which really stinks in a long-term partnership, personal or professional. Okay, because then you feel small. You feel like, you know, bad about yourself. You feel as if, you know, you're not important. And you're not. Their problems are important. So that's a bit of an explanation of boundaries. And I want you to think in terms, I'll go back to it. What is your problem to solve? And what is someone else's problem to solve? And everyone, the world, I cannot tell you what a better place the world would be if everyone started solving their own problems and focused on their own problems. Now, every single one of us have seasons of life where we need help. But toxic people have a pattern of behavior that is always their problem, their mood, their need, their want, their whatever being more important than everyone else's, and surrounding themselves with people who are willing to make them feel like the hero and solve the problem of their ego, do things for them, take care of them. Okay. And to have a healthy relationship, you have to take turns. And you know this. So my guess is you thought the problem was that if you had stronger boundaries, then you could solve the problems of the relationship. Okay. And when you were little, I'm sure most of you heard the story of the three little pigs. Now, when I was a kid, I wanted pigs. I loved, I put notes in my parents' bed that asked them to buy me a pig. I collected stuffed pigs. I love bacon, which probably would have been inconvenient if I had a pig. So I have a friend with a pig. I have a long history with little piggies, cute little piggies. And I love the story of the three little pigs. But I want to revisit that story in the concept of boundaries, because the lesson we learned from that story is, well, if you remember correctly, it's like, okay, one pig made a straw house and that wasn't strong enough, so the big bad wolf blew it down. Then another pig made a house of sticks and that wasn't strong enough, so the big bad wolf blew it down. And then someone made the house of bricks and the big bad wolf huffed and he puffed and he couldn't blow that house down. So that's probably the story you've heard in the past, but I want to revisit it and look at it this way. First little pig makes his house of straw. And of course, it gets blown down. Big bad wolf comes, blows it down. That part of the story hasn't changed. The next little pig sees that the first little pig had no boundaries, right? He made a house of straw. It wasn't strong enough. Maybe he didn't do his inner work. Maybe he didn't look back at his childhood. So second pig, you know, joins a few divorce support groups or toxic relationship or narcissistic recovery support groups. You know, they read a few things on toxic behaviors. Maybe they read a book on boundaries, watch a couple videos on boundaries. And that little pig says, oh, you know what? I've got this. Now that I understand toxic behavior, I'm not going to be taken in by toxic behavior because I read two books on narcissism. So now I am a strong, strong, strong little pig. So I'm going to build my house, and the big bad wolf is not going to be able to blow it down. Okay. So the big bad wolf comes, and he huffs, and he puffs, and of course, he blows that house of sticks down. Those boundaries were not strong enough. So third little pig, third little pig, super smart little pig. And I heard pigs are smart. Super smart little pig. He did really well in school. You know, he's always the teacher's piggy pet. He was like, I am going to master this boundaries thing. I have never met a problem I couldn't solve, and I'm not going to let this problem get me down. So this little pig went week after week rehashing everything that happened with the big bad wolf and rehashing boundaries and figuring out. Apparently his piggy mom moved on and, you know, took away and gave him slop too early instead of letting him nuzzle those little piggy teats, and you know, he had like 12 brothers and sisters, so he felt neglected as a child from his piggy mother. And you know, he rehashed that, and he, you know, went back and like, and this happened when I was 12, and so it's really made it difficult for me to have boundaries with a big bad wolf, so I need to work on that. And then he didn't read two books on toxic personality behaviors. He read all the books on toxic personality behaviors. He could quote boundaries in the mirror. The third little pig, he sat in front of that mirror and he gave himself affirmations. You are a super swine. You are a strong piggy. You're the strongest piggy. You're a beautiful piggy. You're not going to let that big bad wolf. And he practiced saying no a million different ways. No, big bad wolf, you're not going to blow my house down. I'm not going to let you get to me, big bad wolf. He practiced. He even did the super swine stance where he put his hands on his hips like Superman, and he looked in that mirror and told himself how strong he was and how beautiful he was, and he gave positive imagery, and he thought, you know, I'm going to visualize my house, strong, strong house, and the big bad wolf's going to come try to blow it down, but he's not going to be able to. I'm going to, you know, attract that version of my future. And then I'm going to pray really hard about it. And I'm just going to pray that the God protects me from the big bad wolf. And then I'm going to, you know, read the universe has my back about how the universe is going to protect me from the big bad wolf. This little pig wanted to cover all his bases. And then he researched the strongest bricks. And he just wanted the strongest piggy house and all the bricks. And he was like, okay, whew. It's been 3 years of work. I've worked so hard at this. I have the strongest house around. I have the strongest mindset around. I have the strongest, all these things around. Like there's no way the big bad wolf's going to get to me. I'm going to show that big bad wolf who the boss is. So the big bad wolf comes. And he huffs, and he puffs, and he couldn't blow the house down. So then the big bad wolf gets mad, and he huffs, and he puffs, and he can't blow the house down. And then he huffs, and he puffs, and he can't blow the house down. And then he tells the piggy what a horrible person he is and how dare he try to keep him out of the house. And doesn't he know that the wolf is cold, and the piggy doesn't open the door, and he's been doing his affirmations, and he knew the wolf was going to do this. And then the wolf goes away. Pig doesn't know what to do. His whole life has been about preparing for this moment. And once the wolf knew he couldn't blow the house down, he went away. The pig feels lost. What are his new goals? If it's not about having better boundaries, like fighting the big bad wolf, like what? Who is he at this point? Why does he even need to get up in the morning? What's the purpose of his life? He didn't think it was going to go this way. The big bad wolf has been the main event. It's been his nemesis for so long. Who is he in his little piggy heart without fighting the big bad wolf? And he calls his friend. Second pig, doing pretty well. You know, he's made some adjustments. He's doing pretty well. He asks him how it goes, tells him he fought the big bad wolf. You know, Piggy two thinks that's pretty cool. And then he calls Piggy one. And he said, Pig one, oh my gosh, you sound great. You sound, you know, how are you? And, you know, Pig one says, well, I'm doing great, but you don't sound that well. And Pig three goes, yeah, just, you know, all these years I've been, you know, standing up, preparing to prepare for the big bad wolf. And I've got this amazing house, but it's lonely. Like there's no one in it. Like all these fortresses. I mean, it's really strong. Like I'm protected from the big bad wolf, but it's kind of lonely. I didn't really realize this is what it's going to feel like. I've been preparing for this forever. Well, and Pig three hears giggling in the background and he goes, Pig one, what you got going on over there? And Pig one says, oh, sorry. You know, I met a piggy wife. We've got piggy piglets. It's crazy over here. It's so fun. I'm just delighted. You know, life is good. You know, I've got my pig friends coming over later and, you know, life is so full and so rich and so full of love. I'm just really, really thankful. And Piggy three says, man, that sounds great. That sounds amazing. You know, that sounds like exactly what I want, what I was hoping for. And Pig one says, well, yeah, I mean, it wasn't that hard. And Pig three's like, what do you mean it's not that hard? I've been like my whole life has been like fighting the big bad wolf and just felt like everything was hard. And I had to build these boundaries and I had to build this. And Pig one said, Pig three, did you think that big bad wolf was going to change? When you stood up to that big bad wolf and he knew that you were stronger, did you think the big bad wolf would like you? Did you think the big bad wolf would change into like a little lap puppy? Did you think the big bad wolf would say, oh, you got me. You figured out boundaries. Oh, okay. I'm not going to be able to get my way anymore. Like, you know, open the door. Let's come in. Let's hang out. Now we can be buddies. Now that you're strong and I'm strong, we can get along. What did you think was going to happen when you set boundaries with the big bad wolf? And the piggy said, I don't know. I thought that was the answer. I did think the big bad wolf would change. I thought if I changed, the relationship would change. If I got stronger and fixed the problem of not having boundaries, then maybe I could have a relationship. But I guess that didn't work, did it? What did you do, Pig one? What was your strategy? And Pig one said, I got away from big bad wolves. And when you hear that story, I want you to hear, you can always make your house stronger. You can always make your life better. You can always be more self-aware. You can always know better things to say. And those things are great. But when that pig had a stronger house, the big bad wolf couldn't gobble him up. And the big bad wolf wasn't looking for a relationship. He was looking for someone to gobble up. He was looking for power. He was looking for the game. He was looking to power over you. He was looking to avoid responsibility. He was looking to feed his ego. So when he could no longer do that with the third pig, he went away, which was great, if that's what the pig wanted. But if the pig was hoping, if he got stronger, that the big bad wolf would change, and he was trying to change his behavior to change the big bad wolf's behavior, then when it didn't work, he felt lost. And that third pig finally looked in the mirror And he had to get real. And he had to learn from this experience. Because pick one didn't spend all that time and energy and effort on that. And he was happy. He found happiness. And pick three said, well, what happened? You know, how did I miss this? And he finally looked in the mirror and realized, I thought the secret to happiness was a stronger house. But I guess I have to realize that the secret to happiness in relationships is staying away from wolves. And no matter how big and bad you build those boundaries, if you still have someone, imagine, you know, it's a brick house or a brick wall or a fence. And if someone is constantly trying to set dynamite to your fence, if someone is trying to ram their car into your fence, if someone is trying to pour water under your fence so that the ground softens and they can tunnel underneath, if someone is trying to destroy your fence, you're always going to be hypervigilant. You're never going to be happy. You're always going to feel exhausted. And the problem isn't your fence. The problem is that there's someone trying to destroy your fence. Now, that isn't to say we can't have stronger fences, we can't have stronger houses, we can't have stronger retorts for toxic people. Of course, those in themselves are good. Boundaries are good. But boundaries are meant to protect you, not to change them. They want to get their way. They want to have someone to gobble up. They want to avoid responsibility. They want to avoid blame, or they want to place blame and avoid blame. They want to get the better end of the deal. They want to play by a different set of rules. They don't want to take turns. So thinking, that's what they are looking for in a relationship, is someone who will allow them to run over them. They want someone to run over. They want someone to gobble up. They want someone to destroy. So as you get stronger, you need to realize that it's not going to create a better relationship. It's not going to turn it a better relationship with yourself, more peace, more safety. But don't make, if you're in a relationship with a toxic person, you're in a relationship with that big bad wolf. The wolf is the problem, not how strong the pig's house was. That house of straw would have been fine if there was nobody blowing it over. The house of sticks would have been fine if there wasn't a wolf trying to claw his way in. The problem wasn't the house. The problem was the wolf. And I want a strong house. I want to strengthen that piece of me. That's great. But do it on purpose and do it for the reason that you want to protect yourself. Don't let the reason be you're hoping to change the toxic person. Sandra L. Brown, she wrote Women Who Love Psychopaths, and her work is so much more extensive than the title of the book shows you. And she talked about why toxic people are this way. And there's such a debate over that. It's nature and nurture is pretty much the conclusion. If you see brain scans, yes, their brain looks different. It's like the gas pedal is pressed to the ground. And they don't feel the need to hit the brake of behavior in the same way someone with what we consider a more normal, socially appropriate, standard brain scan would show. The gas is always going. Punishment? Nah. Consequences? Nah. Sharing my love for them, or, you know, not wanting to break up my family or whatever? Nah. They want to look good, right? They want to keep up that image. But their brain scans are actually different. Also, nurture. We place too much emphasis on nurture thinking if we can fill the holes of their childhood, that we can transform them. And something in her book, Sandra L. Brown said, she goes, "You would never try to think you could be so good, so kind, so caring, so giving, so understanding, and so patient that you could change the color of someone's eyes." I love that explanation. I love thinking, okay, so if you have better boundaries, right, you learn what to say and you learn how to, you know, not back down, then you can change the color of someone's eyes. It's absurd, right? You would never think that. But essentially, that's what she's saying. It says, as we try to go through that process of thinking, I can change myself to change them, whether it be through boundaries, whether it be through being more caring, whether it be through whatever. If I try to change myself, I can change them. You're going to have about as much luck with that as if you were hoping to be so wonderful that you could change the color of someone's eyes. I hope that helps. I hope that you start to recognize what boundaries are supposed to do and what they're not supposed to do. And I hope you forgive yourself if you have been told by someone that the problem was your boundaries or lack of boundaries. I hope you can forgive yourself and recognize that, sure, you can strengthen your house, you can build up, you can have better bricks. But if there is a big bad wolf outside who's always looking to blow your house down, to gobble you up, they are the problem. A stronger house can be part of the solution, but the problem is the big bad wolf. I hope that helps. Check out more of my work at sarahkramsey.com. And if you're not in the group, my Facebook group, you've got to join it. It's the world's most amazing women. Many of them have gone through the Wondrous Woman program. Many have not gone through the Wondrous Woman program. They're going to be going through the Wondrous Woman program soon. But it's a fabulous support system, because my goal for you is to get past your past, get real about your present, so you can get serious about your future and become the main event of your own life. May you stop healing and be able to finally start growing. Hello, wonderful. This is Sarah, and I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. I know that there was something that you can take away to help you get past the past, get real about the present, or get serious about your future. And if I did my job, then hopefully it will help you with all three. If you are not in my Facebook group, Finding Love and Success After a Toxic Relationship, then consider this your personal invitation from me. I'm there live, there's tons of support, and most importantly, tons more information to help you on your journey to become toxic person proof.